Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
It's that group, especially a small group, which I probably was the original group I met. They were signing for everything.
I was going to kind of ask you about that. He's hooked up with the Seagram's daughters, the Bronfmans, one way or another, and I think they might even be going to jail as well. They're ready for sentencing. That's where their real money came from. Was he involved with them at that time, or
yeah,
was that after you as well?
Well, they were sucked into the cult like other people, and eventually, they went up the tree, if you will, they inherited the Seagram's fortune. Say had hundreds of millions of dollars. And one of the things that happened before they would engage with Keith on a financial way, because what Keith needed at the time, since he went public again, he essentially disappeared for 9 years, is that some of the rumors of some of these early escapades with young women, with teenagers, were starting to bubble. But so they needed lots of money to squash them. So where that family came in, they provided the firepower to help push all these rumors out. For years, this is 1999. I mean, Keith was essentially running that thing up until, I think it was 2017, is when he was arrested in Mexico. But they were those two sisters and about three or four others, which, by the way, I didn't meet. They weren't involved with CBI. This is after the fact. A couple of the people I knew passed away from cancer and other things. They were no longer involved with Keith, but he didn't care. He just kept the wheel turning. But these people provided the money to go after anybody that would want to leave Nexium. You'd get sued, including Tony when she left in 99. They were trying to sue into an oblivion. But she escaped, too, the whole thing, and turned state's witness, you know, against Keith. But this is this one little last story that's really bizarre, but it's true. Got to remember, his name was Vanguard. He was Kiss His Ring. This guy was so smart. He could solve world anything. And so they were hiding, or maybe vacationing is a better word, in Mexico in a $20,000 a week rental, these seven women with him, the closest seven. And all of a sudden, FBI agents and the federales with Mexico showed up at his house in Stren to arrest him and the other people with him. So they got all the women out. They came out. They couldn't find Keith. Eventually, in the big house, they eventually found him tucked away in a closet behind clothes, huddling a bag that had $500 million in cash, crying. And they brought him out in front of these other women, and he's crying. And they go, someone had, like, shook him, like, scared straight sort of thing. Like, if you're so smart, how is this possibly happening? How could we be arrested? How could that happen? So it blew the cover, finally, to these early women. They all got arrested with him because they had to do with the money, too. Everything was handled in cash, most of it, I believe. So he got money, you know, money laundering, all that other stuff, pyramiding, and all that, and all in the worst way. Matter of fact, he was kept down the hallway from Epstein, two of the biggest people involved with sex trafficking in the world, were in the same prison. So he's been sentenced now. And again, the last time I talked to him was in 90, end of 91. Never spoke to him again. But again, I've touched a lot of lives through the years. I mean, with my grocery programs, and people have stayed in touch. It's just he went to the dark side. He just completely went to the, he found a vehicle to go to where the devil has completely become the devil himself. Unfortunately, and unfortunately for me, it helped me launch my career, which I'm thankful for, but I never had anything to do with him all the way up till I heard him got arrested.
Right.
And that whole scenario.
So it was a series of weird events that eventually grew, and whatever he started with his whole ESP, which is, I think it's called the Executive Success Program, was really the launch pad for him to be able to get some things going on, and then he got really weird, or just had the opportunity to become really weird with the sex slave stuff. So he actually turned sex slavery into a pyramid scheme for those people that want to follow that, and it's a really very interesting story that is very dynamic, and Frank Parlato, who does frankreport.com, really documents a lot more of that stuff. But so Frank does a great job in documenting a lot of the stuff that was NXIVM and before NXIVM later. Fred, you've been able to kind of give us some of the backdrop of what happened even before, way before NXIVM. So with the CBI stuff, and that you were actually part of that whole grocery part. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I know me and you had that conversation, or you and I had that conversation a couple of months ago, and I said, this is a fascinating story. I mean, this is just fascinating that somebody knew Keith Raniere before he was the Keith Raniere that everybody kind of found out about, and it's made the headlines right now. So I appreciate you sharing that. Is there anything else that you'd want to kind of add to this? You know, any other quirkiness? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's one weird thing that happened. Remember the original contact, somebody sent me something, I sent them my letter, they called me, and they're the ones that introduced me,
right,
these two guys, to Keith. Well, as we were growing, this absolutely crazy growth, they came up to me and said, Fred, this is before someone tried to buy the company, and said, you know, I want you to listen to this tape. And I listened, out of respect, I listened to it. And it was all about telling the truth. In order to be successful, you have to be honest with yourself and be able to tell the truth to people. And it was just oddly, it was misuse of language, I guess is the best way to explain it. But I talked to the guys. They said, yeah, well, in your business model, you have to be truthful with the consumer. When you're making money, you have to tell them. When you're not making money, you have to tell them. And I thought that was one of the strangest things for someone to tell me that I've never heard before. And when I think about it, Keith was already involved, probably with his inner core, with this whole truth thing, because that's how most cults start, is to get you in that group. Is the reason you're having problems with yourself or with people is because you're not honest. And the first step in being honest is you got to tell me your darkest secrets. It's the same thing over and over again, and they were starting to do that at the time, and that may have been what provoked at some point in time in the future where I got that call saying, hey, you don't know what you're doing. We're going to do it anyway, blah, blah, blah. And it has nothing to do with it. Well, let me say it this way. It's a different perverse view of truth and being honest with people.
Right.
Because normal people don't – it's a different meaning of the word honest, and it's a different meaning of telling the truth. You are telling the truth and being honest, so they have something on you. It's just a weird thing. And I never had a problem with Keith telling me how to run the business or anything like that up until that point.
Wow. Now, when you were dealing with the people that were there, do you think they were victims themselves eventually, if you knew any of the ones that became part of that whole NXIVM thing? Were they also fooled? Or were they, I don't know how to say it, were they unscrupulous people? Like when they try to buy your company from you, I'd say that's a raw deal. I mean, that's just not even a good thing. They're not even offering you a fair price, and they think they could do it anyway, and they proved that they couldn't. But were there people there that you feel were just kind of like caught up in the cult thing? They were completely hoodwinked by Ranieri and his The Mystique?
I think it was more of that. And you got to think of the time period to this was. There was no Google. There was no look them up, no any of these things. And most people wouldn't. They would just believe it. Someone tells a story, and you believe it and repeat the story. When Tony went to his office for the first time, she told me this story because she was a smoker. She was there with her husband. And they meet Keith at the end of the day, and Keith tells her, "Do you want to?" Because I guess she must have had the cigarettes in her hand or something. Said, "Do you want to stop smoking?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I can teach you in 5 minutes how to stop." Well, she went into the office, and she said that was 3 hours long.
Wow.
While her husband sat outside, and she doesn't remember a lot of what went on, because he was so. You got to remember, you're meeting the emperor, almost like an alien. That's in a human body that's supposed to be smarter than everyone in the world. It was like regular multi-level times 10 of meeting somebody that's successful, you know, at it. It was almost like their own religion, but it wasn't religion. As the business grew, more and more people surrounded him and, you know, the gatekeepers. And there's no cell phones back then, so it's not like I told you to call him on a cell. No, nobody had a cell phone. And we're 2.5 hours apart. I really, really tried to meet us back up and say, let's take a hold of this. We could have the biggest deal going ever. But I think at that point, all the other people, which may have been 5 or 6 that were really running the day-to-day, the banking, everything, for him, because he didn't like detail. He didn't, you know, it's like his office. You know, box up everything and I'll just look for it if I need something from months ago, you know, at the time. But he let me do my thing on stage. And according to Tony, she told me that behind the scenes, because she would be with him prior to my presentation, that I was the only one he talked positive about that really gave a good introduction, which I would hear. I just thought everybody did. You know, as a speaker, you're done, you know, you're off to the side or whatever, the waiting rooms or whatever, and you don't hear what's going on, especially in the big ones that were going on with thousands of people. But he let go of all that. It must have, because somebody got to him and said, "This is really easy. How hard is this to do?" And one of the things they never took into account, and we know this is really big, and Peter, you know this in network marketing and recruiting and building, is your psyche, your personality, your ability to say a message, to tell a message, to tell a story. And most people have a hard time doing that. They have to either learn how to do it, or they can't, or they do it. And I was the spirit of Harvest America. I wrote all the newsletters with Vinny Cipiel, so it was all our language, everything we talked about. Now, that all just disappears when we severed the relationship and they were going to do their great thing. I got calls from distributors who had our phone numbers through ordering and stuff. Some people, they thought I got kidnapped. They go, "What happened to you? Are you hurt?" Because all of a sudden I was gone. No warning, just gone. And he didn't take any of that into effect. Just like you, Peter. I mean, people know you have a great reputation. You can speak clearly and concisely with people. You can tell a story. You can host a podcast. You could do all. You have all kinds of talent. That's gone. There's a big hole. And each one of us, each one personally, has a different way of doing that. And part of that maybe came from part of my life in dealing in the grocery industry is I had to know a whole other language. How that industry talks and their acronyms and how they get things done. It's almost like being in the band at West Point. They had their own set of things you say and do that would make absolutely no sense to anybody else outside of the academy that you learn. And I learned them very easily. I was able to talk to these folks without scaring them. Without other than this is the service, if that may be scared, there's not much I could do about that. You got to remember, this is pre-internet. So there was all kinds of stories going on that the next way of communicating, most people thought it was going to be through cable TV, not the phone services at first, where you dial into a modem. It was going to be off the modem on your cable TV. At the time, and I had the largest food organization in the United States was called the New York Food Merchants, and they put out a monthly magazine. Actually, it was almost like a newspaper, just covering all the industry news. They found out about Harvest America. I was talking to one of the baby bells who was experimenting with cable TV, with being able to do simple things with your TV to click on and off. And I said, gee, groceries would be great. So we had a big meeting. And Food Merchants, the following month, the middle two pages of the magazine, excuse me, the publication, were about Harvest America and this new way of ordering. And they had satellites circling the earth and all this other stuff, beaming orders down, and which, of course, none of that happened that way. But it was the future. It was where they thought it was going. And to me, I didn't know where that future was other than we could plug into any of the futures that come, you know, with our type of business model. So that's why we're one of the first – actually, I may have been the first company to do an online grocery order.
Wow.
You know, which was not like it is today. I could assure you of that.
Right. No,
it's
changed a lot.
Still. It was dial-up then, and now it's completely different. So it's an enjoyable story. It's an interesting story. Yes, a lot of people got hurt from CBI and then eventually Nexium, but it spawned other companies and other opportunities for people. I just kind of let go of that circumstance and was open up to opportunity. And literally, when people are in the midst of you thinking you're failing or you're going to close up shop, you're not going to do it, if that door closes and it hits you in the butt, that's the other thing. It's got to hit you in the butt. Usually another opportunity happens. You either call somebody, somebody calls you, and something else happens. It's usually happened that way my entire life.
Right.
But you have to be willing to get hit really hard in the butt.
Yeah, well, you've been a trendsetter, that's for sure, and taken the bumps and bruises along the way. And I know you've always been part of that whole groceries and the receipts and the discounts and the data and everything else like that. So this has really been somewhat fascinating to hear previously. Now, for those people that are listening in, let me just re-explain the gentleman's voice you've been listening to is Fred Y. Y is spelled W-E-I-H. The previous stuff we were talking about was Harvest America and things along that line. I'm going to have Fred come back on future radio shows to talk about what he's working on now, because he's been a trendsetter all over again in many other ways. I have a huge level of respect for him on the different and various things that he's been doing. But, Fred, I'll let you wrap this up however you want to wrap this up, and I appreciate the history. In future radio shows, we'll talk about the future of the stuff that you're working on. As an entrepreneur, I know you have vast amount of knowledge and resources the projects that you're working on sometime in the future. So if you want to hint at that, any of that now, you can. Otherwise, I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you inviting me on this call, and my voice has lasted. I lost my voice for a month in October, so it feels good to be able to talk about positive things.
Yeah.
You know, and so just to give you a hint, I'm went into the future again in the food industry, not 24 years in advance, but as Peter's talked about, I'm involved with the data part of the industry now and developing on systems for where consumers can shop at any supermarket anywhere in the world and collaborate with us with their data, and we're going to be able to pay them for that data from grocery shopping in every supermarket except for North Korea and Antarctica, but that pretty much covers the rest of it. We can talk more about that in the future. And if you need to contact me, you can just get a hold of Peter and he can gateway you into me. But I'm a big believer in home-based business and direct selling and network marketing. It's even now more important than ever that a family do something for themselves, for their future. And didn't say it's easy. Didn't say it's easy, but I'm one of those guys, I made a living at it. And again, it was hard at times, but you keep at it. You keep at a system, the way you do things, and you'll be surprised that success will come your way. And look for in the future for what I'm doing. I think it's going to change the world. And I can say that cheerfully because we've changed the world before. And with that, I'd like to thank everybody. Thank you very much, Peter, for inviting me.
Okay, I'll catch everybody next time. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, you'll be able to hear this all over again, buildingfortunesradio.com. We'll see you next time, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.